Well, Ofcom has issued draft regulations stating that Radio 2 must have 17 hours of news and current affairs each week. For the first time, 3 of these hours must be in peak time. They also want to increase the amount of new music from emerging UK artists that the station plays. We did ask Ofcom to come in and flesh out those plans, but they've declined. So we asked Radio 2 listeners what they think.
I listen to The Breakfast Show most mornings. I tune in for the fun. I think we shouldn't have news because certainly in the morning I'm rushing around and getting ready to go to work and I can't really concentrate, so something light and noisy like Chris Evans is perfect. If I want to listen to news, I could listen to Radio 4.
I prefer to listen to Radio 2. I think for the kind of light-hearted banter, so my personal favourite is Ken Bruce and Popmaster. You kind of have the news on the hour every hour. If it's a slow news day, you tend to hear the same sort of news articles time and time again. So it's mainly disturbing what you've already got. It's kind of a really good mix of character, of music. I do agree, actually, with one of the things that Ofcom has kind of suggested around championing British music, and I would be a fan for that, but again, it's kind of not to heavily disrupt what's already kind of working.
Well, I think that listeners are very clear about what content is offered to them across the BBC radio network. I personally see Radio 2 as just easy listening tunes that I like to hear. If it was interrupted by too much news content, then I would be looking to retune to a commercial radio station that offered me that.
BBC Radio 2 listeners, Shirley, Nick and Barbara. Well, I'm joined by Bruno Brooks, the former Radio 1 DJ, of course, who is now chief executive of Immedia, which sets up in-house radio stations for companies, and by Matt Deegan of radio consultancy Folder Media. Matt, is Radio 2, as Mark Damaser said, the bugbear of all commercial radio stations?
I don't think so. I think what commercial radio wants is a level playing field. Commercial radios tend to have been the most regulated of all media types in the UK. Strict format regulations, input regulations, where stations have to come from, all of that kind of stuff, where historically the BBC's been a little more flexible about what they can do. And that's at the same time as they have a very generous budget. They don't have to take any adverts and they've got great distribution. So I think it's more about commercial radio wanting the BBC to follow similar rules that they do.
Bruno, why do you think that commercial radio finds it so hard to compete with Radio 2? It is extremely popular.
Well, I think Radio 2's budgets, primarily. To run a channel like Radio 2 is considerably more than it would be to run its commercial rival, something like 8 times the budget. But having said that, the very fact that BBC Radio 2 produces the output it does, with obviously a lot of speech, including covering live music events and so on, it allows formats for their commercial rivals to be successful in that they are promising nothing but music, and that's what a lot of people like.
Now, commercial radio, Matt, has been lobbying for these changes for a long time, specifically for more news and current affairs on Radio 2. Why have they done that?
I think commercial radio's viewers tended to be that it's important that, because the BBC's in this a good place of being well funded, that it should provide distinctive programmes, it always does excellent news, and that should be featured on those networks.
Is it not, I mean, I hate to say this as I've been a news journalist my whole career, but is it not that what commercial radio seems to be saying is that we think that people don't really want to hear news on a music station, and we've got to play ads, which we know people don't really want to hear either. So if you have to play more news, then that kind of levels the playing field.
Well, I think what's interesting, actually, if you look at what Radio Centre is the commercial radio's trade body, it's said a lot of things over the years to try and increase distinctiveness on BBC networks. Actually, Radio 2's done that. It's a very distinctive radio station over the last 10 years, put a lot of effort into broadening what it plays. And actually, what's been the outcome? A record rating. So distinctive popular programming that's well funded does well.
Bruno, do you think that commercial radio will be happy with this, or do you think they're going to say it's not going far enough?
I think they'll be very happy about it, because essentially, as I say, commercial radio prides itself on the fact that it plays more music. And, you know, if BBC Radio 2, similarly BBC Radio 1, where, you know, this directive was the other way around and that they should be playing more music and providing less news, current affairs and everything else, I would say that the commercial radio industry wouldn't be happy with that.
Bruno, what about from the listener's perspective? I mean, we've done a straw poll. I know it's not very scientific, but it does seem to say that the listeners who tune into Radio 2 do so because they don't want to hear much more news.
Well, I would completely agree with that. 17 hours each week and 3 hours in peak time of news and current affairs is a bold statement for a radio station like Radio 2, which is part of British culture in terms of a balanced output between, you know, music, news, events and everything else. And the commercial guys, I'm sure it's a good day for them. You know, they'll be pleased with that.
I think also it's not actually that much of a change. I was looking at the BBC Trust Service licence for Radio 2, and that specified 16 hours of news and current affairs. Now Ofcom are suggesting 17 hours. The 3 hours in peak is new, but that only works out at about 4 minutes an hour. And having listened to Chris Evans this morning, he does 5 minutes an hour already. So I think what a lot of it is about regulatory minimums and creating something that the commercial sector can have confidence in. This is what Radio 2 or Radio 1 are doing, and then it can get on with running its own programmes and know that suddenly the BBC won't change its mind.
No, I think I might just add, sure. At the end of the day, if this directive follows through and that's the way that Radio 2 is what people can expect to hear in a very short space of time, those fantastic ratings will dip.
Really, you think actually that it would turn people off, Bruno?
I do, yeah. Well, we turn some people off because, as the lady said in the last report, she'd go and find more music. Because often there's no such thing as good news, it's all bad news, and people don't like listening to bad news.
Let's look at the kind of music as well, because we've got some slightly new regulations there. 40% of daytime music that the station plays should be from UK acts, and at least 20% of music should be new, and a significant proportion of that should be from UK bands or artists. Now, that is a point of difference from commercial radio stations, Matt. They often have a much narrower playlist than a playlist of hits.
Yeah, they generally play a more hit-led playlist, but I'm sure if you had a look at Radio X and what it plays or what Absolute Radio plays, I'm sure their UK percentages wouldn't be that different. Also, actually, again, looking at the service licences, 40% of music in daytime and 20% of music being new is the same as what Radio 2 had previously. So again, no real changes. Ofcom have adopted the BBC Trust's licences, and they're just going to be enforcing it now.
They're going to be enforcing it, and they actually do want, I think the change is that they want to have some more UK, new UK bands, which of course is great for local bands and local artists.
And good for the industry, and I know that if you talk to Radio 1 about their support of UK music, and they have similar commitments, it works very well for them.
Bruno, has this changed since you were at Radio 1? I mean, do you think that there were the same constraints, or did you have a narrower playlist then?
No, it wasn't such a narrow playlist. In fact, I think it was more of an inventive playlist week by week. There was a lot of activity. There was also the support of programmes like Top of the Pop. So music had a little bit more meaning, that it wasn't just audible. It was very much visual, and that a lot of these bands became stars. It was a very, very different environment. The one thing I do want to add is I was staggered to read the average age group for the BBC Radio 1 listener today, which is 35. And certainly when I was there, it was a lot younger.
Indeed. This isn't something new, Matt, as you said. This has been started by the Trust. What is different now, though, is that we've got one regulator. We've got one regulator regulating both commercial, and they've been doing that for quite a long time. So Ofcom have had that lobby group, if you like, in their ear for a long time, and now the BBC. Is there a balance that they're going to have to do here? They're going to have to be quite careful because they've got competing interests and they're regulating both.
Absolutely, but they've always had. You know, they also look after telecoms regulation as well, and I'm sure they get loads loads of arguments from all of the players in that market too. They've always regulated elements of the BBC. They've regulated harm and offence for a long time. So they're taking on some more responsibilities. Responsibilities they didn't necessarily particularly seek out and want, and they've firmly said they don't want to get involved in, say, BBC News Online, looking at the internet. So of course they'll be have a lot of people in their ear from all sides, I think, including the BBC. They tend to have done a pretty good job of media regulation up to now, and as someone who's been involved in radio stations that have been regulated by them, if you want to change things, you provide evidence why you're making that shift, and they'll consider it in the next wave, which I'm sure they'll do for the BBC. I think listening to Mark there a little bit, it's a kind of panic about what's going to happen. Actually, if you look at what they've done previously for other sectors, it's not going to be some shock and awe for the controllers.
Bruno, do you think we're going to end up now with a more level playing field? Do you think that commercial stations, who, as you mentioned, have had a hard time and indeed obviously have a much lower budgets overall, are going to be able to compete more with Radio 2 and Radio 1?
Well, as I said earlier, I think it's good news for the commercial radio industry. I'm sure they're going to be delighted with this. On the flip side of that, you know, the listener, do they win by the very fact that they are going to increase news and current affairs and speech, certainly on Radio 2? Is that good for the Radio 2 listener? I'd predict a dip, because Radio 2 is primarily known as a radio station that gives us music and entertainment with news when we would expect it. There's obviously documentaries and various things on Radio 2, but you know, Radio 4 would take care of that kind of business normally. So that would be my prediction.
Matt, another thing that Ofcom has said, that it wants the Radio 2 to play a broader range of music than comparable commercial stations. Overall, do you think this is going to be good news for the listener?
I think it's excellent news for the listener. I mean, of course, commercial radio are keen that the Radio 2 and Radio 1 perhaps broaden away from some of the songs that they play. So it is a small win for commercial radio. But distinctiveness is good for listeners. Hearing a broader range of music is excellent. You know, Radio 2 has a brilliant head of music who weaves an incredible range of songs. I mean, if you're at Radio 2 listener, you know where they can go from 70s tunes to show tunes to the newest music, and they'll continue to do that, and I think distinctiveness is good.
Well, Matt Deegan and Bruno Brooks, thank you both very much indeed. Well, these, of course, are Ofcom's draft proposals. If you would like to comment on them or find out more, you can go to their website. And we do hope that Ofcom will come onto the programme very soon and tell us more about their plans for the BBC.